بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of the prerequisites for progress is fahm sahi. Understanding must be right. And if the understanding is incorrect, and one is trying to progress, inshallah, with time, his understanding would improve. So it takes a considerable amount of time to get the person to understand things correctly. So the fahm sahi requires a right understanding. And if the understanding is not right, or say for example it's weak, then you need to correct it. And the weak intellect you can't correct. It takes time to understand, to see things in perspective, to be able to grasp concept, it takes time. So as long as the person is sincere and committed, he can come right. But the other thing is, one is ghabayat, one is ghawabat. The person is off. Right? He's astray. And he understands that he's off. He's crooked. In his ways he's crooked. So to get the person that is crooked on the right is difficult. But the person that is weak in his reasoning, to get him right, it's an effort, but you can get there. One group of youngsters came to Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh and they requested, you know, we played the lottery. It's running to a couple of millions. And will our names appear? We played the lottery and will our names appear? So Mawlana got upset, obviously. He said, Nikalo in khabisoko, Nikalo. But the means, throw these people out. Get them out. So Mawlana said, get them out. So they said, see, Mawlana said, get them out. Our names will come out. So we'll win. So Mawlana said, but get them out. So get them out, as get your names out. So your names will come out, you'll win. You see the understanding. So one understanding is weak. So as long as the person understands that I'm weak, he will try to improve himself. What time will come right? One muhaddis is relating hadith. So whenever he has to go to pass, you know, to relieve himself, so he's making witr namaz the day or the night, and he makes wuzu after toilet and performs witr namaz. So they asked him, "By this is something new, we never see this thing here, that someone is relieving himself, and after relieving himself, he makes wuzu and performs witr namaz." So don't you know there is a hadith which says, "Man istajmara fal yutir." Then when you make istinja, then do witr. So I made istinja, now I'm making witr. Now, witr in Arabic translates as do it in odd numbers. So if you're cleaning up, then clean up in three numbers, in odd numbers. Right? And how he construed it, that do witr namaz. Whereas that witr has a meaning of doing things in odd numbers. Because the witr namaz is done in odd numbers, therefore we call it witr. But now, he misconstrued the whole thing, and he said, No, after I make istinja, I must make witr namaz. So, one important aspect is to have the right understanding. Without the right understanding, you can't come right. Fahm sahi. The second requisite for coming right is that you have a yaqeen kamil. Whatever is being told to you, you have absolute certainty. What is being told, you don't have any reservations, any hesitation in accepting it. 100% you're accepting it. If it's told to you that a lustful glance is a poisonous arrow of shaitan, so you're accepting it wholeheartedly. Once you heard it, straight away you're accepting it. No reservation, no hesitation in accepting it. I know I'm playing with poison. Right. But if now the person comes across it, but he doesn't have the level of yakin in that, he'll keep looking, so what? What? Nothing's happening. He can't see the spiritual disaster. Because he can't see the spiritual disaster, therefore he doesn't believe in it. Or he doesn't have that level of yakin in it. See, because he can't see the spiritual disaster. But it is a poisonous shaitanic arrow. There's no two ways about it. It's the word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it will definitely have its effect. So this one is ghabawat, and one is ghawawat. And today it's a combination of the both. Sometimes the reasoning is weak, and sometimes the person himself is crooked. So you can't have a weak reasoning, and you can't afford to be crooked in your reasoning. So one woman just phoned up now, you know. So I came a little bit late. So she was crying over the phone. What happened? No. My husband has opened up a shop. Alright. MashaAllah for him and for you. So he was looking for a manager. He found a manager, but he didn't find him to be the suitable person. So he sent him away. So he got a manageress. I mean, he got the manageress, and she is widowed and she is young. So now, she was not very comfortable with this, so she explained to me, manageress is not the right person. But anyway, he kept her. He says, no, what's wrong with keeping a manageress? And though the person is Hafiz and all that, but he kept her as a manageress. So he had to go away somewhere. So he asked her to just hold on, just to see, you know, the manageress is doing the work. So she came into the shop, and the shop has got cameras. So she wanted to see, she wanted to replay the whole thing. And she went to replay the whole thing. Now she saw that this person was secluded with this woman for almost an hour. I don't know how they worked the thing out, but secluded. So he asked her, but what is this seclusion? She said, no, what's wrong? We're doing business at the time. And you can't be so suspicious, you know. How are you going to do business? So what's wrong in this? See now, you become adamant. You become defiant. And you don't realize that you're defying the Shari'i status you are defying. Because the hadith is saying clearly that if you're going to be secluded with a woman, then the third person is shaitan. No matter what type of buzrug you are, how pious and how much of mujahada you're making. But if you are going to be secluding with a woman, then the third person definitely is shaitan. Now this person is up in arms. I'm not going to talk to you, and the curse is on you. But he's himself cursed. Because he's going directly against the hadith. The hadith is saying, if you're going to be secluded with a woman, then the third person is shaitan. So she had a right to object to this type of conduct, to this type of behavior. But now this person is saying that because you are suspicious about me, and you're talking to me like this, therefore Allah was cursing you. So as though he took the whole ministry of Allah in his hand, that he controls it. Nabi Sam is saying that no, the shaitan is the third person, and he's overtaken Nabi Sam's role. See how dangerous it can become. So I say today is a combination of both. People, either they are weak in the understanding and reasoning, or there is a level of crookedness. Because of the type of life and lifestyle, etc., they need to cover themselves, and they want to give vent to their lust and temptation, but at the same time, they need to cover themselves. So how much they cover themselves, see? So, Usman al-Ghadir says that no matter how concealed you do the wrong, you know, in so much of wraps upon wraps you do the wrong, but Allah Ta'ala will expose the person from his speech, from his ways, from his behavior. Something will slip out and he'll be exposed. By the same token, if a person is righteous and is concealing his piety, he'll get exposed as well. Somehow or the other, he'll get exposed. There is a robbery in Medina Munawwara. So, Umar radiallahu anhu, Amirul Minin, the Amirul Minin is not just a position, is to see that the whole public are at ease. You've assumed this position. The position was not for your recognition or to show power or to show authority and to enjoy. No, no. From now, you are a public servant. So they made themselves like public servants. At any given time, one camel that came in as zakat, that camel broke loose. Now the Amirun, meaning Umar radiallahu anhu, is giving chase to it to go and catch the thing. So someone tells him, brother, you are the Amirun, meaning you don't do this thing, we will do this job. No. I'll be responsible, I'll be accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala for negligence. So I need to go and apprehend this thing and bring it. Allah Ta'ala were to ask me then, that it was because of your negligence. Then comes to his grand nephew, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi. Look, when they took on the position, then they were very, very thorough in the position that they took. So now it's a great grand son of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi. So he says that even if a wolf had to devour a sheep on the banks of the Euphrates, well then, where's Medina Munawwara? Where's the Euphrates, right? Iraq, somewhere there, right? So how far? Even if a wolf had to devour a sheep on the banks of the Euphrates, I will be held responsible. But if it's under my khilafat, under my imarat, then I must be thorough about this thing. I can't be negligent. I must see what's going on. Put checks and balances. See that the people are comfortable, at ease. I've assumed a position. When I've assumed a position, then the position is not just wealth, enjoyment, comfort, flying around, running around everywhere. No, that's not a position. It's to see that the subjects that are under me, they all are living peacefully, comfortably. See what has crept into us in this life. Presently, I was explaining when a youngster came in about a week ago. So I explained to him, see, there was so much to make shukr for. So much to make shukr for. See, as we stand, we got no deformities. Right? Ears are working, eyes are working, tongue is working, teeth is working, stomach, everything is working. Isn't that a ni'mat? All these are doing their function, right? Then we're coming from Muslim homes. Isn't that a blessing? We've got lovable wives, parents, etc. Isn't that a ni'mat? We've got siblings on our sides, or banina shuhud, our children on our sides to help us, support us. Isn't that a blessing? One youngster was here from America. So I asked him some years ago. So how do you all do Eid there? So now we take our basket, me, my wife, and my small child, 2-year-old, we go to the park, eat, come back. No children on the side, no family, no extended, immediate family on the side. So to have all these favors, you are around, your children are around, families are around, somebody's coming, making Eid Mubarak, being a present, coming, eating a little bit, going, next one is coming, going, doesn't make the Eid. Now, you don't have anybody, nobody on your side, you, your wife, went into one park. Nobody knows you, you don't know anybody, nobody comes and wishes you, and you don't wish anybody. Is that an Eid? So, there's so many things that we are supposed to be thanking Allah Ta'ala for. Then I explained to him, see, our problem is we don't make shukr. So, how can you say that? He's telling me, how can you say that I don't make shukr? So, whenever you come, you talk about this business not working out, that thing is not right. Isn't that not showing disappreciation to Allah Ta'ala? So then I explained, That you see, some of the gifts of Allah Ta'ala are so much that you don't even understand that it's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. See, you got a pair of eyes, right? And if someone were to offer you the entire world with gold, you know, the world with gold, as far as your eyes can see, the entire world with gold, but just in exchange of your eyes, are you prepared to barter? So can you see what favor of Allah that you've got? So do you take out the time before you sleep and enumerate the favors of Allah Ta'ala? Thank Allah Ta'ala that you gave me this, eyes, tongue, teeth, ears, my systems, all my systems are working, got so many friends, children, brothers, all my side. I may not have the best home and all that, but I have so many things. Shouldn't I be thankful? I mean, instead of being thankful, kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu, we are becoming wasteful. But instead of being thankful, we are being wasteful. Right? You may ask, how are we wasteful? See, we mustn't think that only we have got wealth. No. The Muslims in the past also had wealth. You know, I was looking at the Mughal history, right? Compared to the English history, written by an Englishman. So he's showing about the Mughal, Muslims, and then the English. English, just showing one period, around the time that our grandparents had come here. 1870, 1860 to 1900, that was the period that most of our grandparents came here, right? So just in about 25 years, according to recorded English history, when India's population was about 200 million, right? In just the 25 years, there were over 25 million deaths as a result of the English taxing them. They couldn't afford it. They're being taxed now. So when they tax, they have to go to loan sharks. And when they have to go to loan sharks, then the loan sharks are attaching the properties. They can't pay. Now they've got nothing to live on. So they were forced to leave that, come over here. But in that process, just in 25 years, there were 25 million deaths. 1875 to 1900, right? There were different ways that they'd used, but what they wanted to do is to rob India. Right? The GDP of India, before the English came, was approximately 25% of the entire world. That was the money they were making. But when these people came in, out about 50 or 70 years of the rule, it went down to about 3%. There it was 30%, 25 to 30%. But you see what they did. Right. So, the Quran Sharif is saying, kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrif, don't waste. Now, we look in our personal capacity, how much of waste, I say they have money also. Now look at the Mughal rule, right? When they ruled, and they've got everything in the reserves, whatever has come in the name of jizya, ushur, zakat, etc., they've got, right? Then there would be a public announcement. Whoever got any need, small need, big need, provided he's got need, he must come and take according to his need. They would have made that announcement sometimes for about 4 months. There'll be heaps and heaps of gold, right? People are coming according to the requirements. 4 months, 5 months, they've taken everything that they need, but the wealth is still there. And now, just a few years into their rule, right, they robbed the whole country, they raped the whole country, and the wealth is being pushed to England. These people are dying here. See? Eventually, we had to leave and come again on this end, but then we had to then sink ourselves into their stupid life. Now, how do we sink ourselves into this stupid life? See, the word is israf, wastage. What do you mean by wastage? There's two words in the Quran Sharif for wastage. One is israf, one is tabzir. Right? Kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu wa la tubazziru innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. So tabzir is to waste in a haram avenue. You're using the wealth, but you're using it in a haram avenue, right? You're not supposed to be using it in an avenue, like, for example, using it for music, right? So it's a haram avenue you're using it for. So that's tabzir. And for that, Allah says, those that are extravagant in that respect, then they are the brethren of Shaitan. And the other is kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu, don't waste. Waste is in the thing that is required, because kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. So drinking and eating was a requirement, but you are wasting, in the process you are wasting. So how our life is gone? Right. People that go to these big dawas, they come and tell you, they load their plates, eyes are too big, stomachs are small, so they overload the plates. When they overload the plates, now whatever is left over, the caterer or whoever is in charge, he goes and throws it away. So I ask you, is that likable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The food is not running away, eat according to your requirement. Don't waste, eat according, take little, eat according to your requirement. You want a second helping, you take a second helping. But now imagine there's so many hundreds of people that are poor, starving, etc., below the bread line, and we're going to throw away food like this. Is that the right thing? Don't we earn these poor's curses? And what's the difference between us and these people that go and dump? You know, when there's an excess in butter, milk, cream, etc., when there's an excess, they want to dump it into this ocean, right? So they don't benefit, the poor don't benefit. I don't know if in the ocean anybody benefits from that side. So they are throwing away tons and tons, and we also throwing away. You say, oh, it's unhygienic, unhealthy, and all whatever you're talking about. But who asks you to overload? Take what you need, and then whatever is excess, or leave a reasonable amount for poor people. Whether here, Fulbani, Malazi, wherever, you find poor people, go and dish around, look around, and go and distribute. Who's stopping you from that? So that's one way of wastage, right? The other way of wastage is, see, like I say, the people in the past, they had wealth also. Not that only we got wealth. But the wealth, with that wealth, they look for the right avenues. See, in this whole etiquette about spending wealth, then Allah Pak speaks about three main etiquettes. You want that act, the charitable act, to be accepted, right? So the first thing is to see that what you are giving in charity is right. Like the simile that has been used in the Quran Sharif to explain the whole concept of charity is a man that is sowing a grain of corn, right? Imagine a grain of corn being sown into the ground, right? So for that thing to take well, the first thing that is required is to see that the grain that you are sowing into the ground is right. So if you want your charitable work to be acceptable, then see to it that is halal. Right? It's halal. Number two, you need to see that seed is not defective. Because if that thing is defective, either it will not produce anything, or if it produces something, then it will be defective. Because the seed itself was defective, so what's going to be sprouting out also will be defective. Right? So what you are giving out, then see is good. See is right, and see is halal. Don't only give out charity, don't only give out interest in the name of charity. Interest will give it charity. Interest will give it charity. Yes, give that is good. You'll have to, that interest, you'll have to give it out. But when you're giving in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and you want something to be producing, something to be coming out, وَتَثْبِيتًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. See, the Quran Sharif says, وَتَثْبِيتًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. What's the meaning of it? You're giving out with that conviction in your heart that this charitable work will produce nashian, it will bring out something good. Some good will come out. Good will come out in the akhirah, that is without doubt. But good will come in this world as well. Tathbeetan and Muslim has got three meanings. One is that the good will come out in the akhirah, but for what I have given now, I'll get a replacement for this. Somehow I'll get a replacement. I've done some charitable work, some replacement will come in. I know, in Medina Munawwara, there was one Muallim, Abdul Qadir Barrada, right? A very good person, simple person, right? Maybe not 100%, but good-hearted person, right? So, his elder son, Ahmad, I think that was his name, he was involved in a motor car accident. Now look at his response. Straight, immediate response was, alright, let's give 10 sheep in sadaqah. Alright, then after that, whatever hospitalizing needs to be done, whatever. So everything else was done after that. But the first response was, let's go and correct this, let's give some sadaqah. Because sadaqah tadfa'ul bala, it will remove any type of calamity. Let's get this out, and then we'll do whatever we need to do after that. So that which is waste, you don't give only that in the name of Allah. I don't say that if something used, then don't give it out. Right? You imagine, if someone gave you a scrap, right? Will you appreciate it? When you are giving Allah Ta'ala, you're not giving any ordinary person, you're giving in the name of Allah Ta'ala, giving to Him. Right? Imagine you're working for a boss, right? And it was a happy occasion for you, or for your boss, it was a happy occasion. You say, oh boss, you're a very good boss, but take this leftover food, take this. Will you do that? So you aren't giving your boss, you're giving Allah Ta'ala, the king of all the bosses. And what are you giving? A waste, thing that is crap. You know, my sadqa, Allah will give sawab for that. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثِ. You deliberately don't give these things here. This type of waste. One person is not in Durban, somewhere else, right? But he phoned me about zakat and all that. Now, from that time that he phoned me till now, big shops and running very well. So, he's telling me, you know, what I want to do. I want to give zakat. Alright, so, alright, mashallah. How much? About 2 million, I have to give zakat. So, Mullah, you know what? I got some redundant stock in school, stationery and all that. I'm going to give all the garibs. I told him, but I don't say that the zakat won't be done, but this is against the spirit of charity. Just you give something that you like. لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُ. Because you're giving to the king of all the kings. The one who's giving you, you're giving him. It's coming to him. And then you're giving redundant, you're giving scraps to him, then you mustn't expect good to come out of this. But he said, you know what, my zakat is done, I am absolved of my responsibility. But bichara, from that day to now, he's in constraints, some difficulty, some problem this side, that problem, now he's in debt, he needs some assistance here, he can't look after his son. So some problem or the other is coming up. See, so you're going to go by the book and give it out. I don't say that you won't be absorbed of the responsibility, but it's not in the spirit. Like I say, it's your happy occasion or your boss's happy occasion, and you want to give out a scrap to him. Say, oh, boss, I like you too much. Too much I like you. So I got a scrap motor kaya. Your happy occasion, take this. 1940s, that, you know, that beetle they had. Take this thing away. Would you appreciate that? Maybe, illa antuhum idufi, maybe he would be considered not to embarrass you. He's a boss now. Big people have a big heart, right? They won't embarrass you. So I jazakallah and kept it on the side. Not just not to embarrass you. Not because he appreciates that. So Allah Ta'ala may just take it away, but he's taking it away not to embarrass you. I don't say this redundant stuff you don't give. But when you're giving a charity, give it with the spirit. The true spirit. I'm giving in the name of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. Abu Dahda, when he heard about charity, you know, that Allah Ta'ala is asking for charity. Allah Ta'ala is asking to spend. Man dhal ladhi yuqridullah. Who will loan a beautiful loan to Allah Ta'ala? So he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulallah, Allah Ta'ala is asking me for a beautiful loan. Right? Whereas he is the provider. So, Ya Rasulallah, see, I have got two farms. So, I'm going to give all. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, don't give all. Keep one for yourself. And the other you can give away in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So, Ya Rasulallah, like, I have got these two farms. This one year is the better farm. This year has got 600 date trees. It's all choice khajur, right? This one year I'm giving away. That's the spirit. Now, when you give like that, then Allah gives you like that. Chappar paarg ke deta hai. When you give out like that, you don't make hisab with Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala gives you also behisab. Mawlana Ataullah Shah Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. His son passed away last week, right? Allah for his grateful nur. One of the top orators of India. Very great, pious person also, and an orator. Now you get an orator, but you don't get the piety. He was pious also, and he was an orator also. So, his oratory style was so captivating. Muslim, non-Muslim, Hindus, everybody would come in his bayans. So, in order to expound a point, so he says, right, I want to ask one mathematical problem. But I'm addressing this only to the Muslim brothers. So some complicated mathematical problem, he gave them 5 minutes, they couldn't sort it out. Alright, keep quiet. Now I'm addressing my Hindu brothers. Okay, can you find a solution to this? In 30 seconds they found it. They said, no, what you said is 100%. What you said is 100% accurate. But remember, my Hindu brothers, for you, in this world also hisab kitab. You're going to go through accounts, checks and balances all the time. Right? In the akhirah also there's checks and balances all for you. And we here, we've got no checks and balances, inshallah, here. Akhirah also we've got no hisab kitab. We're going straight to Jannah, inshallah. Here you're stuck up here and you're stuck up there. Everywhere, immigration here, immigration. Don't get the immigration though, you're falling to Jahannam. Don't get the immigration right, you're falling. Here, we got no immigration here, and no checks and balances there as well. So the first requirement for the acceptance of a charitable deed is that what you're giving must be right. See what you're giving, what you like. I don't say give the whole thing now, but mimma tuhibbun, some of that what you like. Some of that which you like. That's the word of the Quran. So you want to get, aim to the higher levels, right? Then some what you like, some of what you like, then give that in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is not saying give everything, some of it. But that which you like. Because a charitable deed is a token of love. You know, you love someone, so you give him something as a token, isn't it? You love your wife or love someone. So something as a token, don't you give something as a token? Nicely presented, and you go give it to him with a lot of respect, a lot of understanding, respect, you give it to him. And if the person accepts it, you consider it as a favor that he's accepted my thing. Don't you do that? So mimma tuhibbun. So the second requirement in when you are doing some farming, one is that you need to see that the seed is right. The second is this, that the ground that you are planting, that must be right. High land, fertile, right? Generally, when you are planting, you need high land and you need fertile grounds. You know, for you to get the right terrain, fall, and the right type of soil conditions, right? And you need to get the proper sunlight, so you need high land and fertile. So the second requirement in acceptance of charitable deeds is to go and see that you're giving it to the right recipient. Make some effort. Try and go and find out where is the right person, who is the right person, who is the better person. Obviously, to spend on your family and folks, immediate people, the reward is doubled, right? But it doesn't mean you must give everything to your family. If all of them are wealthy now, you're going to give something else. I don't say that Allah is not going to like this. But the better thing is to see who is the more deserving person. Go and find out. And see, sometimes it may be just 2 doors away. Men may be in constraints. يَحْصَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَا مِنَ التَّعْفُفِ. Some people are too embarrassed to talk about their poverty and the constraints. They don't even talk about it. They rather not talk about it, suffer in silence rather than expressing their needs. So يَعْرِفُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَا مِنَ التَّعْفُفِ. Because they don't express themselves, they don't say what's the need. But what we think in the meanwhile that this people got no needs. So you see, these are the real recipients. So the Quran Sharif outlines the type of people that are the better recipients. One is the relatives, right? So the reward is doubled. One is those people that don't go and present their needs before people. And the third, أُحْسِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. أُحْسِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In other words, they have tied themselves. They have been constrained, they have been tying themselves in the service of deen. Whether madrasa, whether jamaat, whether khanqa, whether jihad. But they've tied themselves in the service of deen. So because of the service of deen that they are tied up, they can't move. Now why is the reward doubled there? Is if you give an ordinary person, you're getting a reward. But the person that has tied himself to the service of deen, so the reward is going to be doubled because you have the person in need and your money is going to be used for a deeni cause. For a person that is in a deeni cause. So, لِلَّذِينَ أُحْسِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. Can you see? فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So they have tied themselves in the service of deen. Now see, what's their problem? Not to spoil the person and not to ignore the person. So to spoil is also an extreme, and to ignore is also an extreme. Both are problems. So to spoil is a problem, and to ignore the person is also a problem. So now you're going to see and going to find out properly, correctly, who is the better recipient? What are his needs? What should I do for him? تَعْرِفُهُمْ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعْفُفُ. They don't recognize the person, so therefore they feel he doesn't have any needs. So that's the second condition. You know, I said just now the word تَثْبِيتًا مِنْ عِنْدِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. The one meaning of تَثْبِيتًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ is with that conviction that you're going to get that reward. The second mission meaning of تَثْبِيتًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ is to see that you are spending in the right avenues. Recipient is right. So it will take some effort to go and find out, to go and explore. It mustn't be that you are overspending on one person and neglect the other person. It mustn't be that you ignore the person completely, entirely. The ulama of the past, as such, has a Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi, Shaykh was Mawla Khayr Ahmad Sahanpuri sahab rahmatullahi, right? So one student that is studying at his madrasa, Mazahir Ulum Sahanpur, he is related to Mawla Sahanpuri sahab rahmatullahi. So he says to the Khadim, you know what, I'm a little bit thick with the madrasa food. Every day madrasa food, we're getting thick now. Can't you make a plan, some home food I need? India is a little bit difficult, but you don't have all these takeaway steers and all that. Right? And number two now, those students there, they're not going every week home. They're going home after 2 years, 3 years. So obviously now they want to change, right? So he says to the Khadim of Mawla Sahanpuri, that is his relative, can't you organize some home food? So the Khadim said, you know what? Hazrat ke yahan aajkal to faqa chal raha hai. In Hazrat's home, there's no food at all. Absolutely no food. They're eating some bread or something. That's what they're living on. But yet, Mawla Sahanpuri sahab rahmatullahi, he's a muhaddis of the time. Even the whole world knows him today. Right? When he would come out of his house, kurta would be immaculate, topi is right, ether on his clothing. So nobody can identify his poverty. Can't make out. Can't make out, absolutely. You can't make it out. So this Khadim says, there's poverty in the house. It's alright. So this student says, well, I'm loaded, so take this and sort the groceries out. So the Khadim says, the relative, don't make this mistake. Don't offer this. If I'm going to accept this, I'm going to bring something to the house, then Mulana will get to know that I have leaked out the secret of the house. The secret of the house was nobody was know that we are going through constraints. And the moment he receives some help, he will know, he'll understand that this, what was the secret, now has been exposed. So when he understands that, then my job will be on the line. I won't benefit from the company, I don't need the money, but I won't be able to enjoy from Mulana's company. So please don't make that mistake. Don't ever make that mistake. So to go and identify, to go and verify, find out who is in need, what's the need. Right? At some point, the Sahaba-i-Kiram felt must only spend on the Muslims. Right? So the ayat was revealed, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. You are answerable for their hidayat. What? And you respond, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You are responsible for the hidayat, so why are you restricting your charitable works to Muslims? Yes, zakat, that is restricted to Muslims. But other charitable works is not restricted to Muslims. There's a person around you, near you, his rent is not paid, some problem is with you. His water has been cut out, his electricity is cut out. But because he's a Muslim, non-Muslim, should you prejudice him? And should you see him going further in difficulty? Being a neighbor, doesn't he have a right over you? Being a neighbor, doesn't he have a right over you? Whatever he is, but he's your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. Go and find out, see what's there. You can't find out, someone else go and discreetly find out, Muslim around, non-Muslim around. But what are his needs like? Can I go and render some assistance? So the ayat came strictly to correct the Sahaba-i-Kiram. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Guidance is not your prerogative. I guide as I want. It may be your charitable work that may be a means to his hidayat. May we just be a catalyst, let us get him on the right. So this is the second requirement for the acceptance of a charitable work, right? The third requirement for the acceptance of a charitable, you're doing charitable work, right? Third requirement is that قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. After you have done the charitable work, don't follow it up with references of your generosity. The man was in battling, you know, we sorted him, don't worry, we sorted him out. You're talking as though you're talking very humbly, but you are giving a message. Right? So you're giving referrals or reminders of your generosity, we sorted him out, or you're boastful. In the meanwhile, the person hears about it, that he's talking to the world about you showing generosity to him. Does he feel nice? So Allah Pak is saying, لا تبتلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Your charitable works, don't cancel them through giving referrals of your generosity or to injuring the person. He, obviously, when you spoke about it, so his heart was injured. And in the meanwhile, what has happened to your charitable works? Your charitable works has been cancelled according to the text of the Quran. لا تبتلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. But anyway, we branched off. What we are talking about was Israf. Right? So I say, it's not only we that have money today. They had also money at that time. But now we need to see properly how did they use their wealth and how we using our wealth. Right? I was showing the Mughals. They were loaded with money. But there was 4 months at a time. All the subjects are invited. Come, take all your needs. Show me your needs, take and go. And 4 months is running, but the treasure was not just depleting. You see, who's the giver? The niyat is so good. Or I don't say they were very pious people. They were a little bit of a worldly class. But see the heart. So now, our wealth, how it's getting wasted, how it's getting spent, we need to redo the kitchen. So this type of granite top, you know. And that auntie got this thing, I don't have it, you know. My jewelry, that thing needs to be traded in. What? Traded in. Going Umrah, that's on the list. That the jewelry that we got must be traded in. We need to give the home a facelift. Facelift, how it looks. It's old style, Purana style over here. Style board, Purana, okay. Just give it a facelift. There's so many people that are more in need. Is this the right avenue to do this? Is it the right thing to do it when there's so many people suffering around? But is it the right thing? Can't do without all these things here. But you brought some cheer to that person's face, to his heart. What a great thing. You know, I found this to be a very great thing to bring, to open your morale, to pick up your morale. In one easy way I found, you know, to pick up your morale, to pick up your spirits, right? Is to pick up the next person's spirit. You help him out. Somehow you cheered with him, made him feel nice, helped him out with money or something, whatever he required. But you have got the heart to cheer other people. So the law of Allah is irhamu man fil ard yarhamukum. You be kind, I'll be kind to you. You be good, I'll be good to you. Whichever way you can be kind. You see the person, alright, it's a different level. Some person has got better level of understanding and reasoning. And someone's level of understanding is weak, right? So you don't talk to him at your level. You talk to him, come down at his level, speak to him, make him feel nice. See how you can assist him, see how you can guide him, assist him, cooperate with him. How good doesn't that person feel? Man, has the heart to come and speak to me, I feel so nice. I was right down, my morale was broken down, but the man took the time to come to me. He traveled, he came to me, he heard that I was in constraints, he came and spoke to me. How good of the person. These are all simple things of Islam. See? Therefore, the Quran Sharif, the Hadith says, we do everything else of Islam and Iman. But the Hadith says, وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. You, in order to get Jannah, you must have Iman. In order to get the passport to Jannah, Iman. But for you to get the perfect Jannah, you need to have the perfect Iman. Right? You want to get into Jannah, But you don't want to get into Jannat with a delay. Right? You want to come out of the immigration, not with a delay, straight away. Now they stall you at the immigration for 2 months, and then they send you out, you'll be happy, but won't you feel it difficult? So if you stalled at the immigration on the day of Qiyamah, and you want to come straight, you don't want to come, you don't want to be stalled. So Allah says the easy way, وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا have a perfect iman. So how are you going to get the perfect iman? وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا until you learn how to love with people, Muslims, the people that are closer to you, Muslims, friends, relatives, etc. How to make it up? Alright, now you had a problem, fight, argument, this, whatever. Now learn how to cover it up. Now, you become so tight, one problem, and then you ostracize the person, don't want to talk to him. Face is pulled up for years. Just for a small little lousy case, and then you pull up your face completely against the person. So learn how to patch up, learn how to make up, how to cheer the person. Even if it's a non-Muslim, show love and consideration. When I say love, not to become his bosom friend, but consideration, kindness, affection. As a human being, you showed him some affection, some kindness, some consideration. Can't we do these things here? So the hadith is saying that your iman is complete when you show love. So you want an immediate entry into Jannah. You died and straight away into Jannah. We know about Ayatul Kursi, alright? That's also in the process of completion. But another greater thing is to show love. For the sake of Allah, you show love, consideration, kindness. Can't we do this? Are we getting into Ramadan? From now we think, alright, how am I going to promote the cause of love and understanding, kindness,